WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome into the Full Court Press Podcast on WVUA 90.7 FM, the capstone. And welcome to episode 15. I'm Alex, and I'm joined by Nick today. As you can tell, Jamie is not with us today. He is stuck in California for a multitude of reasons. To start off, his flight got canceled because of the weather out there, and then there was a big glitch in the system. He was supposed to come back today. Either way, our brother is coming back this Saturday, so he's not going to be here for this week's podcast, but it's okay. The two-thirds of the FCP boys are going to hold down the fort.
Yep.
You don't got to worry, and let's jump right into today's show, which is our top 15 players age 26 to 30. We did ages 25 and under on podcast 12, so after you conclude this one, don't leave yet. Don't click off. After we conclude this one, go check out podcast 12 if you missed that one. Like I said, we did ages 25 and under on that podcast. Ready, Nick?
Yeah.
Feeling into it? Oh, yeah. By the way, we're back in the studio. I did not mention that. We're finally back in the studio after a month on Zoom. Hopefully the quality sounds spectacular.
Feels good.
On Zoom it was a little weird, but we're back and we're feeling really good. But even be better when Jamie comes back next week. But let's jump into the news. Last week I touched on the DeMar Hamlin situation. Obviously, it's football related. I just want to give a quick update. I didn't want to leave everyone in the dark. So he's finally been released from the Cincinnati hospital. He was transferred to a hospital in Buffalo, where obviously his team is and where he resides. And then today I saw he was released from the hospital, which is great news. All his brain activity is good. He's awake. He was FaceTiming, tweeting. He's been posting on Instagram.
Yeah.
DeMar Hamlin seems to be perfectly fine. This is great news, Nick.
Yeah, it is. I saw a couple tweets from him, but I mean, that was like big news, you know.
It was big.
Even my 88-year-old great-grandma knew about it. So.
Yeah, everyone from his 88-year-old great-grandmother to a one-year-old knew about it. So great news for DeMar Hamlin and the Buffalo Bills. Not great news for my New England Patriots. It was a good game, but the Buffalo Bills came out on top and ruined our playoff chances this past weekend because they were playing for number three, DeMar Hamlin. But it's okay. I get it. But let's jump into the NBA. Because that's what we're all about. 422 points away is Mr. LeBron James from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know the weekly tradition. Nothing new. Like I said, 422 points away. Not too much of a difference from last week because he's been out for a little bit.
Was he sick? Yeah, it was a non-COVID illness is what the Lakers had released. But, you know, before that injury, he was looking really good. So I think you know, AD is supposed to potentially come back this Friday. So we'll see. The Lakers could be looking a lot more nice in the next coming weeks.
They've been really doing really well.
Yeah.
And your boy Russ.
Oh, yeah. He's been averaging 20, 10, and 8 in the last five games.
Yeah, so. That's great. Some injury news. We got a few today. I have not talked about this man. I honestly forgot he was, like, even existed in the NBA realm or even on this planet. But Jonathan Isaac is playing G League games right now and is nearing his NBA return after not one, but two plus seasons out of the NBA. Last time we saw John Isaac was in the NBA bubble in Disney, which feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's been almost 3 years, which is insane. I know he had that whole controversy with him standing for the national anthem. We're not going to get into that. We don't need to talk about that. But more, that was the last time he was really relevant, and then he had his ACL injury in the bubble. And he's been out since August 2nd of 2020. 3 calendar years, because it's 2023. Not 3 full years yet, but
3 calendar years.
What do you feel about Jonathan Isaac coming back?
I mean, I'm really happy for it. You know, he's kind of getting up in that age now. He got a big contract a couple years ago, but I think that, you know, the Orlando Magic, they kind of need to just get some of those guys like Gary Harris, Terrence Ross, get some of those guys off the roster, including Jonathan Isaac, for maybe some picks. You know, I think he could really benefit a team like, you know, the Golden State Warriors or the Sixers, the Bucks. A lot of teams could use, you know, that defensive presence,
like,
you know.
Bucks. I think he'd be a better fit because you've been talking about some trades for Tobias Harris, and I've never really been big on him. You talk about Fournier and you talk about Cam Reddish.
Yeah.
But if you guys got John Isaac, a pure defensive presence,
he's always been known for
his defense, and his offense has been all right. But really, his defense is spectacular.
Yeah, and he can shoot the ball a little bit too. I mean, he's like Tobias Harris is a very inconsistent shooter, but Jonathan Isaac is as well. But with the defense of Isaac, you know, that's a lot.
Especially with Embiid obviously being your number one option.
Yeah.
Harden, and then Max, who's been struggling. We were talking about earlier, struggling of late. But I mean, he's still going to be your pure offensive scorer. So
catch and shoot.
So if you can get John Isaac for some defense,
yeah. I mean, we need some more guys like that. You know, high volume defense. Paul Redd, Montrezl Harrell, D'Anthony Melton. Those guys are really what is like the tank to our engine to winning games. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like any confirmed sources or anything. I don't even think there's talks about a trade, but you know, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You guys should listen to us, the 76ers and the Magic. Let's make that
Daryl
trade
Morey.
Happen. Daryl Morey. other injury return as well. After a full year of rehabilitating an ACL tear in his left knee, Cavaliers guard Ricky Rubio is targeting return against the Trailblazers on this coming Thursday. That means yesterday, because this podcast comes out every Friday. So yesterday, Ricky Rubio returned. We don't know what happened yet because we recorded this on a Wednesday. But with that said, how you feel about Ricky Rubio coming back to a Cavs team that is already really good, yep, but they could use this veteran presence?
I think a lot, because I don't know who's really been playing the backup point guard for them this year. I think it's, I don't know who it is, but you know,
Deli maybe, but he isn't even really played.
Yeah, it might be.
Oh, no, he's on the Kings.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was.
I think last year or something like that. But, you know, Rubio, before the injury last year, when him and Rondo were, like, you know, going back and forth with that, because Garland was missing time last year. So Rubio was really, you know, at the top of that, and they were making a play-in run. So Rubio, I mean, he's one of the best playmakers in the league, but having him off the bench with, you know, the best playmaker, one of the best playmakers in the league already, I mean, that's big time for this Cavs team.
It is big, especially his playmaking role. He's not going to give you a bunch of buckets. He can score, but really just passing the rock to Caris LeVert off the bench.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a really good duo off the bench. You know, that's a lot of points getting created by them, too.
I like that one. Now some actual injury news. We talk about two guys returning. This is a guy leaving for some time. Spurs guard Devin Vassell will undergo arthroscopic procedure on his left knee. I always mess up arthroscopic. I got to learn that word. But anyways, Vassell was averaging nearly 19 points a game for the Spurs, and there was really no timetable on this injury, so I looked up what's a normal time for... I'm going to try it again. Arthroscopic procedures on a knee. I think I got it right that time. It's around 6 week recovery. And then in my head, I'm not a doctor. That's for like an average person. If you or I got that procedure, it'd be 6 weeks. But we're not premier athletes jumping, running, sprinting, all this type of stuff on an NBA floor, playing guys twice our size. So I'm going to say it's probably around a 6 week to 8 to 12, if not double that.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's no timetable yet, but... this sucks for the Spurs.
I agree.
Not that they're contending for anything. And honestly, it might help them for the Wembanyama sweepstakes and get the number one pick. But with that said, Vassell has been taking those minutes he's gotten with, because they have no superstars around him. It's been him and Keldon Johnson. They've taken those minutes, you know, they've taken those minutes by storm, and they've been really doing really well this year, especially Vassell. What do you have to think? What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I like Vassell a lot. He's a great shooter, and, you know, he benefits a lot to the Spurs. But, I mean, like you were saying, this will benefit them to tank a little bit more down. Of course, I think they're like the 14, 15 seed, something like that. So, I mean, lose as many games as possible and get Wemby or get Scoot Henderson would be good for them, too.
He'd be good, because they don't really have – Trey Jones is their point guard.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, not really him and his brother, they're backup point guards. That's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks because Devin Vassell, like I said, they have no superstar, the Spurs. DeMar DeRozan's long gone.
Kawhi,
obviously long gone. That whole reign is long gone. And Vassell and Keldon Johnson, but I mean, I guess we'll stick with Vassell. They have taken those 25, 30-plus minutes a game, and they are turning into young superstars. Yeah. Not superstars, but stars in the league.
Young, good players,
Young, good players, which is really good to see. And now the biggest injury. I'm sure everyone's heard about this one. Kevin Durant is expected to be sidelined. It started off as a 2 weeks. It's now a month with an MCL sprain of his right knee. Sucks. I mean, I will say, when I heard this news, I don't pray on anyone's downfall. I do not pray on anyone's downfall. I'm like Nick. I'm kidding. But I will say, when I saw this, I was like, phew, we don't have to play Kevin Durant in the Nets Thursday. Again, that was yesterday for you guys, because the podcast comes out on a Friday. But I'm scared for that game, because KD, Kyrie been on fire lately. The Nets have been on fire, so I was kind of nervous for that matchup. But now that KD's out, I can take a sip. I can take a seat. So...
yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a Westbrook fan, so I'm not, you know, KD's not my favorite player in the world, but, you know, he's been looking so good this season. You know, the Nets have been finding their groove. You know, every time that Ben Simmons does not go to the free throw line, they're 17-2. So, you know,
they're 27-13 right now. They've won 9 of their last 10.
That's crazy.
They're killing it.
They're doing good, but I mean, to me, KD, I don't know if him being out, I don't think you can win with Kyrie and Ben Simmons. Or if you can, it's not, you know, as successful as, you know, you are going to be with KD. But
yeah, I mean, just Ben Simmons isn't even like, there's,
he's just
there's
a defender.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 guys that score more points than Ben Simmons, and that's not even Kevin Durant. It'd be 7 with Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
because Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Royce O'Neal, T.J. Warren, Nick Claxton, all average more points. Granted, Ben Simmons' defensive presence is really, you know, is really well. He's averaging 6 assists as well, 1 steal, but he's averaging 7 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. That's bench.
No, it is, yeah. But, I mean, whatever. You know, he's playing with all this. I mean, there's really not a bubble over his head anymore. I mean, you know, he doesn't have any eyes on him as much. He's not in the news as much as he was, so.
It's just crazy. He just where's plays that 20, where's that 28-8 player?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That we had. But it's whatever. I'm fine with it. We won the trade. For sure. I mean, I feel like we did, but I mean, Maxey's better than Ben Simmons ever was for us, in my opinion.
1,000%.
Maxey is one the best young players in the league.
100%. And you got great value. You're going to be getting him at the 21st pick.
We gave him one pick and Ben Simmons for Harden.
No, but where was Maxey picked?
Oh, wow. We got him at like 29 or 30. That was a big steal.
One of the biggest steals of that draft.
Yeah.
Now getting to some trade / waves / signing news. A little bit of both here. Let's start off with some trade news. The Boston Celtics traded away. So sad. He's a Massachusetts native. When I was at the game, one of the games over Christmas break, I remember I saw him hug like a former teacher or something. Sad news. But the Celtics legend, Noah Vonleh, was traded to the San Antonio Spurs on January 5th for cash considerations. Following this trade, the Spurs released Gorgie Jang to create roster space. The funny thing of all this, Noah Vonleh didn't even have a chance to step on the plane to San Antonio because they just released him. Mm. And then the funny thing is, Gorgie Jang never had to pack up a box because they re-signed him. So this just shows...
They re-signed him?
Yes. This just shows, to the point I was making earlier when we were talking about Keldon Johnson and Vassell, they don't really have any superstars. They don't have any money tied up. So they really just did this deal to get help some out money. The Celtics. No, we got... Oh. We freed up money.
Oh.
And they got Noah Vonleh's contract, and they released him. So I basically just paid it off, I'm assuming, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just shows how much money or how much open contract space they have that they basically just said, yeah, we'll take this, you know, $1 million contract and we'll just let it sit. And then they just released him in seconds. So this trade means absolutely nothing for the Spurs. They just released him, re-signed Gorgie Jang. It was more like a money deal for the Celtics, free up a roster spot. For who? I'm hoping some big men that can help come off the bench, because Blake Griffin's nice, but he's not it. He shouldn't be playing as many games as he
does. In 2023.
Cornette's good too, but I would love to sign Dwight Howard. I would love to trade or sign LaMarcus Aldridge. Where are some centers you think we could trade for? Like, they're realistic options.
Okay.
Like, I like Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, but that's a little unrealistic.
Especially just after doing this
big
trade.
Big contracts. But
signings, Dwight, LaMarcus.
DeMarcus Cousins, but I think the Lakers are kind of looking at him. But, you know, honestly, Daniel Gafford of the Wizards, they have him on a they've been having kind of like, you know, Porzingis looks really nice. He's 27 years old, so they're not really looking at Daniel Gafford to be that guy of the future. He's still on his rookie contract, you know. They would probably want Peyton Pritchard, though. So how are you feeling about that? Peyton Pritchard for DGAF?
1,000%, because Peyton Pritchard is our fourth or fifth point guard on the depth chart. He comes in whenever Malcolm Brogdon or Marcus Smart or Derek White aren't, you know, they're like having a quiet night, they're really cold. Peyton Pritchard will come in to be that spark, and hopefully more times than not, he'll spark up the team. But he could be a sixth man on our roster, so I'd gladly send him to the Wizards. For Daniel Gafford, who'd be, I mean, that's really like a lower level Rob.
Yeah, he's a great center.
Way better than Cornette could ever be.
Yeah.
That's a good team.
Very high volume player, you know, he.
Probably have to give great some defense, picks, though, for that.
All right, let's say, you know, one first round pick and Peyton Pritchard. I mean, that's a good deal, you know.
I'm doing that deal.
Yeah,
count me in. Brad Stevens, let's talk about it later. We're doing that deal. Some other news: Kemba Walker. Weird. He got, you know, his first game with the Mavericks. He scored 32 points, something like that.
Yeah.
He had a big game. They waived him, and you know what they did? They signed two-way guard McKinley Wright
fourth
has earned minutes, and the Mavs signed him, and also Jaden Hardy has been playing really well.
He's well deserving of that.
Well deserved, but it's just I feel so bad for Kemba Walker.
I do, but you know, Jason Tatum, he tweeted out
he tweeted out the Celtics logo with the eyes to seeing him get released. No.
Okay, well, so let's say that trade for Peyton Pritchard happens, and then I don't even know who's at the bottom of your roster.
Well, we'd still have an open roster spot, I guess.
Okay, yeah. What if y'all got Kemba to kind of be that?
I'd rather have Isaiah Thomas.
They would do Isaiah probably.
Well,
before.
The thing is, though, that I've been thinking about is since Jason Tatum is like our number one guy, you got to appease him to some. You know, you can't do everything for him to make him happy, but to some extent, you got to appease your superstar. maybe we got to do it just to keep him happy, because he obviously wants him. Who wouldn't want him? And it's not like a bad thing.
He's a great shooter still. I mean, he showed that he can still contribute as a shooter, of course. But I mean, as a locker room guy, he's a really good guy off the court.
And to appease Tatum, I guess that's really the only plus I can see. To, you know, Tatum wants him. It's like if LeBron said, "Oh, LeBron, like his throughout his whole career, he's had all these little bums come to him because he likes him." So maybe something like that.
James Jones built a career because him and LeBron James are best friends.
Exactly. So I mean, something like that possibly, but we'll have to see. It doesn't look like anything is it happening anytime soon? We'll probably wait till the trade deadline around then. Now a signing. Big one. Derek Favors is signing a 10-day deal with the Atlanta Hawks. The only reason why I'm bringing this up, there's some other 10-day contracts. We talked about this before the show, like Saben Lee. All right, cool. Not really. The only reason why I'm talking about Derek Favors is because he has had a really nice career.
Mm-hmm.
Utah Jazz, that's really where I mostly remember him on those teams. But he's bounced around a good amount.
OKC, Brooklyn.
Like I said,
the Pelicans.
Pelicans. But a chunk of his career is with Utah.
Yeah.
And then he's been out of the league for a year, if that.
A little less.
All this year, obviously.
Yeah, this whole season.
Let's see what he does with Atlanta. I mean, let's see if he can
shake Trae presence. Young. Yeah, but I feel like they kind of need that presence. You know, Onyeka Okongwu, they obviously want to develop him to be that backup center, but he's just small. He's, you know, he's 6'8". You know, I feel like he'll benefit more of being a power forward. I feel like they want him to be Montrezl Harrell, but he's not Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
Derek Favors, he's a great presence under the rim. He's going to grab you 5 rebounds off the bench and maybe get a block. So, yeah, I like that move for them. You know,
it's
they need some they need some veteran presence.
We got some Lakers news.
Yeah.
What is that?
So Austin Reaves and Wynyan Gabriel, both last season before the free agency, had gotten gotten kind of like a weird contract. Like, they, I don't know what it's called, but they don't get a fully guaranteed contract. So it's like a non-guaranteed contract.
Like Kevin Porter?
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier.
It's just like that. So they both, Austin Reaves, who had been playing very well, who has some all-star votes, you know, top 10 in
we'll
that.
We'll get to that next.
You know, he's well deserving of that, and
of the All-Star votes.
But of getting his contract renewed and winning Gabriel, they both played such a big role in this Lakers roster. You know, those two come off the bench with Westbrook, so you know that's where most of my eyes are towards. You know, that bench squad, but I really like Austin Reaves' shooting, his defense, his high energy, just style of basketball. Something that we don't see that much, you know, anymore. So I think that he deserves that. Wynyan Gabriel, obviously a very good player, but I mean, Austin Reaves, he's going to be looking for a big contract this summer, I think.
I agree with that. Jumping into, we'll talk about this briefly. The first round of All-Star votes came out, and we're talking about this for really one main reason. Nick kind of alluded to it a few seconds ago. Why is Austin Reaves, Kevon Looney, who else? I'm even going to say Jordan Poole, Derrick Rose, Nick Claxton.
Yeah,
I didn't even
crazy.
See that one. Nick Claxton. So, again, I'll reiterate this. Why is Kevon Looney, Nick Claxton, I love you, Derrick Rose, but you're not it right anymore. Sorry. I wish your ACLs were still intact, but they're not. Austin Rivers and Jordan Poole, all top 10 in their respective guards, front court. Why?
I mean, but when you look at the teams that are doing it, I mean, they're all big market teams. The Lakers, you know, that's LeBron. There you go. Everybody that's a LeBron fan, they're going to vote. That's why Westbrook is almost top 5 in the guards.
Yeah, I didn't even say Westbrook because, I mean, he shouldn't be an all-star, but it's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
It's not like...
It's not crazy, and he's averaging, you know, some pretty good stats. But anyways, you know, Nick Claxton's on Brooklyn. Derrick Rose has a huge following. Despite him averaging 9 points per game,
it's
still, you know, the Knicks.
It's sad because, you know who's on here? I feel bad. Jamie can't speak his piece right now because you know who's not on here? De'Aaron Fox.
That means he probably hasn't even broke 100K.
Hasn't even broke 100. Jamie, I'm talking to you right now because I know you'll listen to this. I'm sorry. We're sorry. Fox has not even broke 100,000 votes. Jordan Poole's at 138. Austin Reaves is at 144. All right, Russell Westbrook is almost 500,000, but it's Russell Westbrook.
And he's higher than Dame, too.
But De'Aaron
like
Fox can't even get 130,000 votes. Hey, luckily, coaches, players, and NBA executives, right?
Yeah, those get the bench.
They get the bench, so De'Aaron Fox will be there, but he ain't, I mean, it's not looking good right now. Now the biggest stars who, you know, earn their votes. LeBron James obviously at 3 million. Kevin Durant at 3.1 million. Well, they're both at 3.1 million.
LeBron has a little bit more.
Yeah, LeBron has a little bit more. Giannis and Jokic are around 2.5, 3 as well. AD is at 2. Joel Embiid's at 2.2. JT at 2.1. Zion Williamson at 1.9. Andrew Wiggins, he was an all-star last year, but he has not deserved to be a starter.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be an all-star this year.
I mean, I wouldn't even mention Draymond Green. But
I mean, it's Draymond Green.
Paolo Banchero.
I could see it. He's been doing really good this year.
I could see it. There's just some guy, and it's just the first round of votes, and it's all fan votes. That's why it looks absolutely like a fifth grader who's like, that guy looks like a really good NBA player. Yeah. That's why there's votes like that. And, you know, it's like those little, you know, Warrior bandwagon fans for Jordan Poole. And then the Laker diehards that don't know anything about basketball for Austin Reeves. But it's all good. Again, the NBA executives, the NBA media, they get
coaches.
To players?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. But coaches, media, and executives, they get the biggest vote for the bench. So it'll be all right.
I know who won't be voting for Tyrese Haliburton. While he's Caesar back, the guy, the Knicks guy, he was like, it was after the Pacers beat the Knicks. He was like, in the fake All Star, Tyrese Haliburton.
Said Tyrese something deserves like that.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
He's leading a Pacer team to the seventh seed in the East. So, I mean, he's one of my favorite young guards in the league. But,
yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, who out of that front court is going on the bench? To me.
For the
East
or
what? Yeah, for the East. I think, in my opinion.
How many make it? Two?
Three.
And the two guys.
You know my favorite team is the Sixers. And when I look at the standings, the stats, I got to give Jason Tatum the starting slot over Joel Embiid. I know he's a center, but he's not been playing like Jason Tatum. He's not leading his team to the first seed in the East. He also doesn't.
Well, Kevin Durant's going to be hurt. So I feel like.
You think? I mean, but a month from now. It's the All-Star game in a month from now.
It's January 10th. 11th.
11th, yeah.
The All-Star weekend is February. It's mid-February. Like, it's basically a month from now. He's not going to play because he's injured. They're probably going to make him rest the Nets.
Yeah, but okay, it's the 19th of February.
So a little over a month from now. It's January 11th.
So you're right that he might not be back for
it
that.
It just sucks that Jason Tatum could come off the bench.
Okay, well, if that situation rises, then, yeah, Tatum will start. But I just feel like he deserves it more than KD and Joel Embiid.
And out west, I mean, AD's coming back soon.
Zion. I really wanted Zion to be a starter.
He's not going
to
play.
He might. He had a four-week window last week, so maybe he could come back. I really hope
it's
he does.
It's more like the teams want him to play. That's the topic.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if the OKC Thunder don't want Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to come out there and play, Russell Westbrook, you know, he'll happily go out there. Yeah, happily.
That's a good question, though. I'd say assuming everyone's healthy, I'd say, I hate to do it, but I got to say KD, Giannis, Joel, because they're not just going to put Giannis at the five. They're going to pick an actual center.
Yeah.
So Jason Tatum will be coming off the bench, which isn't bad.
I mean, it's an all-star appearance.
It's all-star, but I mean, he should be a starter in a perfect world, but world is just not perfect. Yeah. And then out west, assuming everyone's healthy, LeBron, Jokic, and AD, I guess. And then for guards,
Steph and Luka.
No question, Steph and Luka.
Well, Steph. He came back.
He came back last night in a blowout loss to the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep getting blown out, maybe he loses some votes. But
in the East, Kyrie, yeah, and then Donovan Mitchell, I guess.
Kyrie will probably didn't he skip the All-Star game 1 year? I feel like maybe he didn't. But
I wouldn't be surprised.
It'll probably be Kyrie and Dono, and then KD, Giannis, Joel, something like that. But
yeah, I think wherever the votes are for the top threes and top twos, it makes sense.
Yeah. I would say Harden's better than Kyrie. I don't know.
No way, take that back.
I don't know. I mean, Harden could lead a team by himself to a top six seed in the East, or in any conference. Kyrie has to be a second option. He's never been a first option. I mean, on the Celtics, yeah, but I mean, y'all had like a young super team.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think Kyrie's raw talent is better than James Harden's raw
talent. Yeah, he's better at basketball. But, like, as far as leading a team, you know, assist, rebounds, all that, clutch factor, I got to give it to Harden.
Yeah, I mean, who made that shot in the finals? Not Harden.
You're right. Yeah, Harden is not clutch. I'm tripping. Harden's not clutch. He's got his moments, but yeah. All right, so let's get into the main segment of our show.
Yes, sir.
Ranking our top 26 through 30, 15 of each. I'm going to start off with my honorable mentions, and I got to go with Terry Rozier. I know he might not get a lot of love in this, but ever since he's been in Charlotte, he's been that number two guy, and he's just been so good at it, just being able to score the ball as with such a raw talent and just being so good with it. You know, Julius Randle, you'll allude to him a little bit later, but Jeremy Grant, he's had a damn near all-star season. He's a great defender, good shooter. Kuzma, he had an almost all-star season. He's been looking good. Ben Simmons, I don't like him, you know. But you got to show some love to his defense. Zach LaVine, I can't believe I left him off of this, but I just got some other guys that are better than him. And Andrew Wiggins.
My honorable mentions, I also got Zach LaVine. It's weird not having him there.
Yeah.
But as we'll get into it, I think there's just guys better right now. Nick and I share this. Jamie, who's not here, likes Rudy Gobert for some reason. Nick and I both share in hatred, but I do... got to put him as an honorable mention because he still is one of the best defensive presence in the league. He'll still get you like 13 and 10. And he still does that and then two blocks or whatever. But he's a fake good player. But I still got to put him as an honorable mention because he is still a former All-Star, Defensive Player of the Year. So the awards are there, so I got to do it.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson quietly is averaging 21 points a game after averaging 14 points a game last year. Andrew Wiggins... and then I can't leave him off. Depoy, Marcus Smart, as my honorable mentions. Let's get into number 15.
All right, starting off with number 15, I'm going to go with Kristaps Porzingis. He's had a resurgence this season. You know, he kind of fell off after New York. You know, Dallas was not good to him. Him and Luka was not a good duo. But, I mean, despite all that, he's averaging 22, 9, and a block and a half. And he's really, you know, Bradley Beal, he misses a lot of time. He's a very injury-prone player. So him and Kuzma have really been... making the Wizards decent. I mean, they're the 11th seed, but or 12th seed, something like that. Yeah. They're right outside of the play-in, but, you know, they've been competitive. But, you know, it's time to sell.
At 15, you had him as an honorable mention. I don't. I got him at 15. The 28-year-old Julius Randle. He had a kind of a down year last year. The year before that, when they made the playoffs, the Knicks, really well. But this season, he's averaging 24.5 points per game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists on 46% shooting from the field. He could pass the rock a little bit better, and he'd probably shoot up this list, but he doesn't. But with that said, he is an offensive monster, and he averages 10 rebounds a game. And if I'm not mistaken, he is one of the best, because I remember we talked about this in a previous episode, he's one of the best offensive rebounders, getting second chance points for the Knicks team. That, you know, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Seventh seed in the East.
Seventh seed play-in.
That's really good. That's very surprising.
Very surprising. But with that said, he gets a lot of offensive rebounds compared to other players, getting second chance points for the Knicks, like I said, and he's earned his spot in the top 15. He just cracks it. Obviously, there's 14 guys better, but I'm very pleased with Julius Randle. I mean, he's a very serviceable player.
Yeah, he's a top five New Orleans Pelican of all time. Like, he seriously is. That's a very, you know, not good team necessarily as far as history. But, you know, you got AD, Chris Paul, and then David West, some other guys.
Is he an
all-star
there?
No. Well, I mean, he was very good there.
Level,
yeah. Number 14, this might come as a shocker, but as Devin Booker has been out.
You got Booker at 14?
No. Oh. Mikal Bridges.
Oh, okay.
One of the best perimeter defenders and shooters in our league, averaging 16 points per game on 40% from downtown. You know, without him, they don't make the finals a couple years back. He was defending everybody's best player. He's, like I was kind of saying about Austin Reeves, he plays that high-volume defense, getting those, you know, boards going down, shooting threes, doing what he has to do, the dirty work. But as far as, like, you know, just the overall game, he doesn't really have, you know, the offensive talent of a superstar, but he's, you know, he's really good. He can still give you 16 points per, so.
I like that, but I have someone who plays just as good defense as Mikal Bridges, but his offensive game and his playmaking game are better. Give me DeJounte Murray at 14.
Okay.
The 26-year-old from the Atlanta Hawks, averages 20 points a game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 45% from the field. He's a little light on the assists this year.
Yeah.
That's because Trae Young's averaging around 10 assists, so he's passing the rock a little bit more. But when you're averaging 6 assists when your other guard mate is averaging 10 assists, I mean, that's still
pretty
good.
You're doing things right. Yeah.
And he's averaging almost 2 steals a game. DeJounte Murray does it all defensively like Mikal. Do you have DeJounte on yours?
Yes.
Better?
Yeah, better? Way better, yeah.
Really? All right, so I guess I have him a little
more
than you.
Him, yeah.
I just don't have Mikal. But I will say DeJounte Murray plays a...
He plays great defense.
Better at stealing the basketball. I like Mikal. He just didn't even crack my list or honorable mention. Yeah. Just because his offensive game is just lacking.
Yeah. I mean, he can shoot the ball. But, I mean, I just really... I'm really high on him and his, you know, clutch factor, defense, all that good stuff. But number 13, I've got Wizards superstar Bradley Beal.
I got him at 13 as well.
Yeah, just... Okay, yeah. So... You know, he's just now, he's kind of just cracking it, you know, 23 points per game. He's very injury prone at this point. I remember the only really non-injury prone season was whenever Russell played with him, you know. So, I mean, other than that, the last 2 years, he's not been all that great. I mean, he was averaging, he was the scoring leader when Russ played with him. Yeah. And, I mean, obviously that's because he's got the best playmaker in the league. But, but anyways, you know, Bradley Beal, he's kind of just... aging out of this contract that he has, but obviously he can still put up the points.
Got a long way to go.
I know.
$50 million a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Close to. It's probably like in the 40s, but I also got Bradley Beal at 13, 29, and it's sad because he's... I just wanted him to come to the Celtics so bad. Not now that Jaylen Brown and JT are like really...
Man Brogdon.
But like 3-4 years ago, I wanted him so bad. Like with Kyrie and...
That would have been crazy.
He is just... I mean, he's chosen this... He's chosen this road.
This mellow, like,
he's chosen
route,
this bag. Which, I mean, hey, get your money. Dame Lillard, Steph Curry. But the difference is, at least Dame Lillard has been on competitive teams. Stephen Curry, obviously.
Four-time champion.
Yeah. One of the best point guards of all time. Bradley Beal had some competitive times early in his career with John Wall, Marcin Gortat.
That season with Russ, he was pretty good.
With Russ was all right. But especially back in the day with those tough playoff matchups against the Celtics and all that. He's just slowly phasing out of the league, and he's only 29. Just because he's on a bad team, and he gets hurt, and he's only averaging 23 points a game, where before, when he was on a bad team, he was averaging 31.
Yeah.
It's not the same anymore.
I don't know. I mean, you know...
Free Beal.
If he can just go... He's a great three-point shooter. He can mix onto any team in the league and just sit there in the corner, shoot threes, and average
he's
probably
a better
18
CJ
points
McCollum.
Per. Yeah, yeah.
He could go on any team and get you buckets.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that. Number 12, I got Domas Sabonis. He's averaging 19 points per on very efficient 62 points from the field. Or 62 points, 62% from the field. Yeah, my bad. But, you know, you saw how bad the Kings were last year. But now they're just so much better. I think they're fifth seed in the West, and the West is a very tough conference, you know, so the way that he's been able to just add so much to the team whenever I was really down on them, thinking, you know, oh, this is not going to be nothing for them, you know, just a very lackluster defensive center who has proved that he is a very good center to me this season. And they have such a well-ran defense. Mike Brown has really done the team well, you know, with that defensive scheme that he has. And guys like Keegan Murray, Mitchell, and just that whole bench squad, whenever they kind of get D-Fox out of there and move Sabonis in there with that bench squad, that's one of the best defensive teams in the NBA.
I would agree. We were talking about this before the show. Domantas Sabonis, I'm not comparing him to Jokic. I'm saying he's kind of like a mini Jokic where he'll get you points, rebounds, and a bunch of assists. Not on the level of Jokic. Don't clip me and make me sound crazy, but he's like a mini Jokic.
Yeah, I agree.
At 12, I hate to put him so far down, but he's just... I just don't see him as a level of the other guys anymore. Karl-Anthony Towns at 12, age 27. He's one of the best, if not the best, three-point shooters...
Of all time.
For a big man, of all time. Averaging 20 points a game. He's granted he's hurt right now, but when he was in, 20 points a game, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. He's another one who can pass the rock for a big man, which is great. He's shooting 50% from the field. Great shooter, like we mentioned. I think he's just not enjoying his time anymore.
He's not a
winning basketball player. He's on a roster that should be better, but it's not. We know the whole Rudy Gobert saga. We know the Anthony Edwards Popeyes, now McDonald's saga.
Yeah.
And then D'Angelo Russell just kind of exists.
Yeah, he's been so non-existent this season as well. You know, in this league, if you can't play defense, and for one, why has he moved to a power forward being 7 foot tall? He's just too slow for it. They had a perfect thing going with Jared Vanderbilt being the defensive guy. That's what I'm saying. He's 6'10".
The defensive presence that every championship team needs for DNA. Celtics, I know we haven't won a championship. We got Marcus Smart. The biggest of them all, Draymond Green, of course. I'll give him his props with the Warriors.
Giannis,
Dennis Rodman back with the Bulls. Every winning team has had someone who's just run our test. Every winning team with the Lakers. Every winning team has someone who's like, their job is just get points. I mean, not get points. Just play,
play defense.
Play defense.
Yeah.
Get boards, steals, blocks. Not to jump into video games here, but every time I'm building a championship roster, I get Jared Vanderbilt. You know, I go to the years down the line. Because he'll give me like 2 points a game, 3 points a game, but like 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block.
Yeah.
He's like that. Like I said, not to jump into video games. You know, not very professional, but whatever. I don't know.
I love his presence. He's just such a good defensive player, and I cannot wait for him to get on a team that's going to contend. Maybe he stays on the Jazz, waits for them to kind of develop.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets onto a good team, like he was last year, it's gonna he's going to play such a huge role.
I love how Kat just jumped us all the way to Jared Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I mean, but anyways, you know, Jared Vanderbilt's a great presence.
Yeah,
but
I got Kat at 12.
Yeah. For my number 11... who you said earlier, I got DeJounte Murray.
All right.
You know, I'm really high on him. You know, he kind of reminds me of Westbrook as far as putting up the stats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last season he averaged almost a triple-double. I mean, he's one of the best rebounding, I guess he's a shooting guard now, but guards in the league. He has the height to where he can score over anybody.
Yeah.
He's faster than most point guards. And now he's running the two with possibly one of the most best playmakers in the league, and then he can playmake himself, so he can pass the ball to Trae Young. So, you know, he just does everything right. He plays the game how it's supposed to be. He's averaging 20 points per game and 2 steals. He's, like you were saying, one of the best defenders in the league. So,
at 11, I got KP, the unicorn Kristaps Porzingis, age 27. Nick mentioned this earlier. I have him a bit higher. He has had a resurgence of his career. New York, he turned into the unicorn. And then, you know, his major injury, gets traded to the Mavericks. Traded or resigned that?
He got traded. Signed and trade, maybe.
Signed and trade.
Yeah, something like that.
But he goes to the Mavericks, nevertheless. And him and Luka just don't really work. It just wasn't really a good fit. Now he's with the Wizards, gets traded to the Wizards, and he's back. Not to the level
of like an all-star player.
All-star. He's fringe all-star. He could probably be the bench.
Yeah.
But he is back. 22 points a game, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 48% from the field. I love this. I mean, he doesn't really follow the Wizards' timeline per se. He's a little bit older. I think they're, if KP was still like 22, 23 playing like this, perfect for their timeline. But he's 27, and I feel like he'll get traded again, especially if Beal gets traded or if he wants
they're
out.
They're in such an awkward spot. Kuzma, Beal.
They have
like,
a lot
that's
of guys
just...
who are just young but old for their timeline because they're not that good.
Yeah, I mean, just to go off topic for a minute. Imagine if they just had like a good filled out bench with a real point guard. They would be
instead
a lot better.
Monte Morris.
Yeah. I mean, I would love for
Russ could go back.
I would love that. Yeah, the shooting there now, that would be great. But more realistically, kind of like
Terry.
Yeah, but you think he could play make on a high level like that?
No.
I don't think so either. I mean, but yeah, just regardless, a good playmaker. Russell could go there. But moving on to my number 10, I got Kat. You had him back a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously when he's on the court, as far as offense goes, he's one of the best presence on the court. You know, he can shoot the ball better than any big man in our league. Not efficiently. I mean, it's 32%, but he's going to score a high number of those three-pointers. So, you know, 21 points per game. He's terrible on defense, but, you know, he can score you buckets all throughout the season, all down the stretch. So,
my number 10, I have him a bit higher than Nick. I got Domantas Sabonis. His points per game isn't going to yell at you and be like, oh, he's getting buckets, he's killing it. But he's only averaging 19 points a game, 18.7 to be exact. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
12.5 rebounds and almost 7 assists. Like I mentioned previously, that's just mini Jokic. We'll talk about Jokic later, but I love what he does for this Kings roster defensively. The rebounds he gets, second chance points or defensive rebounds, pushing up the floor with Fox. I don't know. He's a perfect fit. Obviously, Haliburton is him. He's the man. But for this Kings team specifically, he is a better fit. They needed a big man. They've been really wanting it. And this is what puts them over the edge. Like Nick mentioned earlier, the fifth seed in the West, 21-18, I believe, 21-19. So they're recovering around 500. But hey, in the West, that's good enough
to
be the fifth seed. So you can't even complain. And give him a couple years. When they, you know, in a couple years, Sabonis will be around 28, really hit his prime. Fox will be around probably
26,
28 as well. When they really both hit their primes together, it's going to be an exciting time in Sacktown. We'll let that beam. Jamie, I love you, man. Shout out Sacktown.
Moving on to number 9, I got Spicy P, Pascal Siakam.
Two.
Yeah. You know, he's having a really impressive season when you look at it. 26 points per, 8 rebounds.
6 assists.
Yeah. He's close to a triple-double. I mean, obviously not, you know, a triple-double, but, you know, he's right there with it. And he's just one of the best power forwards in our league. He's clutch. He can put up 26 points per game when he used to not be known for that. He was kind of more of a defender, awkward fitting guy, but you know, he can be your first option on any team. He could be a first option. I mean, I don't know if you're gonna win, but you know, he's won a title. He's a winning player.
The Toronto Raptors, I also, like I said, I have Pascal at number 9. The Toronto Raptors are in a funny spot because they're not gonna win anything.
No.
I mean, if there's a team in the East to surprise me and make a little bit of a run just because of their pure defensive presence and someone like Pascal, Scottie Barnes, OG Anunoby, all those guys who can score.
Yeah,
but specifically Pascal, it'd be the Raptors who could make a surprising run. Not to the championship, but I could see them making the ECF, Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah.
Just based off their pure... Yeah, Fred VanVleet, if we're about him. Just based off their pure...
Two-way ability
that not all teams have that they do. But just their bench sucks.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like how the Wizards are. You know, your best player off the bench is Thad Young, maybe.
Gary Trent, does he start?
Oh, no, I don't think he does.
Yeah, I think he comes off the bench. Yeah. With that said, what I was going to lead into is... I'd like him to go to the Mavericks.
Really?
Because Luka needs a second star with him. That's what the Mavericks' struggles are. Not to talk about the Mavericks in depth here. We'll talk about that another day. But they need a star. That's like their struggle, to get him over the hump. And Christian Wood's good, but
I mean, them
Pascal's
three would
a
be,
better Christian Wood.
And you got the defense with Christian Pascal. You know, he can guard 3-5.
I've been thinking about that today. That'd be a great place for him, I
think. Yeah, but... The problem with that is, what does the trade package look like? Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleba, and
I give him Christian Wood. They don't even need Christian Wood.
I mean, but them three together, that'd be nice.
I don't think that would happen.
Yeah. You'd have to give up too many crucial pieces to that roster, you know?
Especially since they're already struggling to have crucial pieces.
Yeah, and they have Reggie Bullock running the four.
Yeah.
That's just crazy to me. But number 8, love him or hate him, I got Kyrie Irving. Mm. You know, one of the best, most crafty players in our league. 26 points per game. He's one of the reasons that the Nets have done so well. You know, I think that there's just... He's been, like, okay this season. Obviously not as good as he once was, but he's still as well of a scorer as he ever was. Just he doesn't... Kind of like how you were saying about Kat, he does not look like he ever has fun to me. He just looks like he's just out there. Kind of like Derrick Rose a little bit. Like, he's just playing.
Just existing.
Exactly.
Making money.
Averaging 26 points per game.
So easy for him.
Yeah. I mean, he really, truly, kind of like KD, he's just easy money. You know, he can score from all around the court.
Easy money sniper. Shout out Kevin Durant's Instagram. At number 8, I got D-Book, Devin Booker. It might be surprising to have him this low. He's age 26, by the way, so he just makes the cut for this list in the age bracket.
Yeah.
It might be surprising, but there are two guys who I'll mention later down the line who I believe have had a surge and have taken over that 1 and 2 spot at the shooting guard position. And then you may say, well, how come he's number 8 for all the ages 26 to 30? And that's because, well, there's guys that are just way better than him now. He's just...
A scorer?
He's a scorer.
A pure scorer.
And I've realized if he was on a team by himself like he once was... It'd be nothing.
They wouldn't be that good,
They wouldn't. That just kind of knocks it off for me. If you put other guys on this list on other teams, I believe they would be a play-in team at the minimum.
Pascal Siakam leads a team basically by himself to him.
I just think Devin Booker, the defense has never really been there. And the guys above him, and at the shooting guard position specifically, better defense, better scores, better playmakers.
All-around basketball,
That's it. Better all-around basketball players than Devin Booker. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but I got him at 8.
Yeah. I have Devin Booker at 7. Same reason.
Kyrie at 7. Yeah. So we have them switched up.
Same exact reasons you were saying, you know, great score, lackluster defense. He's actually a pretty good playmaker. I think what would be beneficial for his career once Chris Paul's out of there is move him to the 1. He could really benefit off of that. I feel like DeAndre Ayton, I don't know what's going on with him in the Phoenix Suns, but, you know, end of the day, Booker's the person that they chose to, you know, run their franchise through, you know? I don't know. Maybe you just got to kind of motivate him a little bit on defense because he can play it whenever he, like, has, like, in their run to the finals. He was playing some pretty good defense, but I don't know. Nowadays, it's just not there, you know?
I agree. So we'll be switching up here. I have Kyrie at 7. I just think he's still one of the best scorers in the league without effort. But like I said, he doesn't really look like he's like
having fun.
He's just kind of existing there, getting buckets. They're winning, but he's not better than the six guys above him. But it's close. I mean, I could toss him up. I have Jaylen Brown at six. I don't know. JB
could be a first option on
him. You have JB at 6'2"?
Yeah.
Yeah. JB is just like an all around. And then to jump in and talk about Devin Booker with JB. Devin Booker's a better playmaker, but Jaylen Brown's just a better overall player. Like, no, way better defense. Like,
yeah,
Jaylen Brown's defense is spectacular.
He's one of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah. And then obviously his offensive game is pretty close, but I would say no one, Devin Booker drives the hoop, but no one's attacking the hoop. I swear, every time this man attacks the hoop, he'll make some funky layup or dunk, and he'll make it every time. 7 rebounds a game for JB. But yeah, so I got Kyrie at 7, Jaylen Brown at 6. What do you think about that? Because we have a pretty similar list the rest of the way.
JB, I mean, of course, I always kind of show my love to him. He's a great mid-range shooter. That's really one thing that he's gotten improved about it throughout his career. That three-point game is really improved a lot. You know, he was not a good shooter when he came into the league. But
his free throws still suck.
Yeah, but I mean, that's with a guy that dominates in, you know, driving situations like that, that's how it always is. Westbrook, LeBron, they've always struggled from the line. But Jaylen Brown, he makes up for it on defense. I mean, he was guarding the best player throughout y'all's entire playoff run this past season. And he's doing the same thing this year, and he's hitting clutch buckets. He's scoring. You know, he just has a complete offensive package. He can shoot threes, dunk, just everything. He
His
can play make the
game
ball.
Is flawless. Except at the line. You got to work on that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's young. He's 26 years old. Give him 3 more years. Even Giannis improved his free throw shooting.
That's
if,
true.
If Giannis can do it, Jaylen Brown can do it.
I agree with that. Who do you got at 5?
I got Donovan Mitchell.
Me too.
Best two guard in the league. That's points per game on 40% from downtown. And not to mention, he had 71 points against the, who was it? The Piston? No. It was the Bulls or something. Regardless, though, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he's just been, ever since he got into the Cavs, he's been just the best player by a landslide, and he's been the best shooting guard in the league. And back maybe a year ago, you wouldn't even think that he was the best shooting guard in the league. You would have gave it to probably Devin Booker. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he's proved that he's a winning player, a defensive player, a scorer. He's even now a three-point threat. You can't leave him open anywhere on the court, because if you leave him an open lane, he's just going to dunk on you. If you leave his guys open, he's just going to pass to him. So
at the beginning of the season, Donovan Mitchell wouldn't have been my best shooting guard in the NBA, but he has earned that right. He didn't even have to score 71 points. He's been averaging, like Nick said, 30 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. You're like, well, his playmaking isn't great. He's got Darius Garland averaging around 11
assists.
He's
got the second best playmaker in the league.
Yeah, he got the second best after Tyrese Halliburton. So, I mean, what do you expect? But his just pure buckets. And then, on top of that, he did score 71 damn points. So.
And the defense is
and
great.
And his defense is just spectacular. He's easily the best shooting guard in the league.
Clears, yeah. Number 4, I have, for the injury, a DPOY candidate. He was looking like amazing. Anthony Davis. 27 points per game, 12 rebounds, and 2 blocks per game. You know, like I was saying earlier, he might come back on Friday. Regardless, though, you know, whenever he was on the floor, he just looked like he was Anthony Davis. He looked like New Orleans Anthony Davis, and that's why those All-Star votes are so high up for him for the first time in who knows how long. But
good 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm just so impressed with how he's been able to. Every time he gets injured and comes back, he just looks so good. Like, I've never seen a player be able to get injured every single solitary season and come back and look like the best power forward in the
especially
NBA.
This year. Anthony Davis, he had that stretch of 8 games where he was better than Pelicans AD.
Yeah, he looked like Wilt Chamberlain.
He was like 40 points, 20 rebounds.
And like 6 assists,
6
3
assists.
Blocks.
Yeah. I also have him at 4. He's 29 years old. I just want him to come back and just play.
I know. I could not wait for it.
Obviously, literally. I'm no big Lakers fan over here as a Celtics guy, but, I mean, I won't complain if the Lakers get better.
Yeah.
For Russ's sake, of course. Obviously, your mental sanity of seeing Russell Westbrook do well. But just Anthony Davis, just I want them to succeed. Not win anything, but, like, they should be so much better than they are.
They should.
And Anthony Davis was really doing all he could.
And,
he
I mean,
hurt.
Yeah, and that bench is coming together now. You know, Austin Reeves, like I was saying, Wendy and Gabriel. As much as Jamie Hayson wants, Scano Anderson has looked really good. Lonnie Walker was so good before he got injured. Dennis Schroeder looked good. Patrick Beverley the last couple games has been playing his defense. Of course, he's injured now. But, you know, the Lakers, when LeBron, AD, Russ, and all those guys are back, they're going to be dangerous.
Number 3.
Oh, see, we might get some hate for this one, but I got Jokic at number three. Mm-hmm. You know, he's creeping
talk
up.
Your mind.
He's creeping up.
Who do you have at two?
Oh, I got my boy Joel Embiid, right, the best center
make
in the league.
Case. Make your case.
Okay,
right now.
So
I want to hear it. Because I have the same thing, by the way, but this is really Nick's argument.
So, of course, the Nuggets are a higher seed, but, I mean, we got Harden and Maxey. But, you know, we also have the Nets, the Celtics, the Bucks, and I think we're the fourth seed of the fifth seed, so something like that. But Embiid is putting up 34 points per game, 10 rebounds, and just being a true center. You know, he's putting up those blocks. He's scoring the clutch buckets. He can sit there and do a clutch. He last year in the playoffs, he did that step back three on the Raptors. And I just feel like as far as all around game, offense and defense mixed together, he's better than Jokic. Obviously, Jokic is the best playmaking center in the league of in the history of the league. But you know, I feel like as far as defense, he just clears them so much. Jokic is just not a good defender. That's why they have Aaron Gordon guarding their centers. He was guarding Thomas Bryant whenever they played the Lakers a couple nights ago. So I don't know. I feel like Jokic is a very good player. He's just very overrated for me. I just don't think he's a two-time MVP. I feel like Joel Embiid should have gotten it last season. Or the year before that. One of those years should have been Joel Embiid's.
The crazy thing is Jokic might be getting his third because the man is averaging 25, 10, and almost 10 assists. He's averaging 9.7 assists, which makes Nick's heart ache.
I'm like stressing for real.
Stressing because you know who has the, you know, Russell Westbrook.
Hey.
So let's talk about that. How do you feel about that?
Hey, but you know who did it four times? Russell Westbrook, only player to do it. So Jokic, go ahead and get it one time, but you'll never get four, and you'll never get 43 triple-doubles on a season.
What if he gets three MVPs in a row? I mean, you know, three MVPs in a row.
I don't think it's going to happen, bro. I mean, look at his team. Like, it's unfair. Jamal Murray could be a first-option player on any team. Michael Porter Jr. could be a second option player on any team in the league. He's got Aaron Gordon, Contavious Caldwell-Pope, Bones Highland is a sixth man of the year candidate. He's got all these defensive players and pieces. And
all the guys around them can shoot.
Exactly.
That's
Zeke
not
Nagy.
His fault.
I mean, they just have such a well-built team. And then they got Mike Malone, he's such a good coach. I really saw how he was kind of running that engine against the Lakers the other night, despite them being shorthanded, and the Lakers did kind of have a fight a little bit. But, you know, Mike Malone, he just knows how to get those group of guys together, like him and Jamal Murray. They, you know, a lot of players do this, but every chance that they had to speak to each other, yeah, they were talking, you know. And that's like how you win basketball games, is having a coach that's going to, you know, get the group of guys together and talk.
Number one. Both got Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, of course. He's the best player in the league.
He is the best. He's not just number one from age 26 to 30. He is number one in the entire NBA.
No argument. No argument about it.
I think Luka is making a case, though. Not right now, though.
I mean, Giannis could be on the Mavs, and he'd be in the playoffs, if you ask me. Luka's gotten the record a lot better.
Yeah,
but
he has.
But Giannis can wield... Here's my thing, and Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson were kind of hinting this a little bit earlier today, but Giannis has no Drew Holiday, and he did have no Chris Middleton. He had neither of them for a good stretch of time.
Beginning of the season,
yeah,
especially with Middleton.
So, like, and he led that team to the second seed in the East. Luka's not doing that. Luka could be doing that right now, but Giannis has been
doing
that.
He has the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
He has better pieces around in the middle than Giannis had. That's a fair point.
Giannis could be on a team like how Westbrook had, and my favorite player of all time, Giannis could have led that team deeper than Russell Westbrook could have.
Valid points.
You know, I mean, despite there's no shooting on any of the rosters, he has great shooting around him. Joe Ingles has made a really good comeback the last few games. Wes Matthews, decent shooter. Javon Carter, you know, they just have all the right pieces. Bobby Portis, I mean, whenever you have pieces like that around somebody like this, you're going to get championships. And I think that they're just such a good team that they form around the best player.
Bud is a great coach.
Yes, great coach.
I'm just going back to Jokic for a second. I don't want him to get his third MVP.
I don't either.
It's okay if he gets it like next year or whatever.
I don't want him to. I don't want him to ever get another one.
This year, because three in a row, he does not deserve to be in that.
No, that's like the last guy to do that was Larry Legend. And he's not on the level of Larry Legend. I wouldn't. It hurts me to put him above Russell Westbrook on the all-time list. Because what has he done? He's never been to the finals. He's been to the Western Conference Finals once. Let's see who... He has
just
more...
Just like, you can't really call it fake stats because he's putting them up. So what... Because I know you kind of talk about this, and I kind of agree with you, but why do you call it like... I don't know. You kind of call it fake.
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay. As far as last season, this season he's been great. Last season, we're talking about the sixth, almost seventh seed in the West, and he's got, I don't even know, the team was horrific last season. They had no MPJ, no Jamal Murray, and he's sitting, he's getting obviously the points and the rebounds. I mean, he's a center, he's supposed to do that. But the assists, all he kind of does, he always has a good shooter. He had Bruce, he still has Bruce Brown. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's averaging.
He just drives,
drives and kicks. Yeah, drives and kicks.
Like you do in 2K.
Exactly. He plays like a little kid in 2K playing now online.
Drive. All the NPCs come driving in, and he kicks it out, and hopefully they make the shot.
Oh, and then now he's got Aaron Gordon to drive right behind him. You just throw it up, and then Aaron Gordon dunks it.
Yeah. So
he's very lucky to have a team like that where Jamal Murray is a scoring point guard, not a playmaker, because if that was the case, he would have been off the team a long time ago. But I don't know. Jokic is just a very fake stat.
His vision, though, is insane. You can't, like, deny
that. He's one of the best playmakers in the history of the game. Yeah. You know, history of the game. He's like, not on the level of Magic, or, I mean, I'm struggling to put him above Westbrook. I just compare them as far as, you know, being able to put in the stats.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to pass the ball, he's just so good at it. And whenever you have good teammates, unselfish teammates, guys that can shoot the basketball around you, I mean, Jamal Murray was put up like, here's the thing, Jokic put up, I think he had like 15, 12, and like 11. And Jamal Murray had 30 points. And who was passing the ball to him the whole game?
Yeah.
Jokic. And Jamal Murray scores a lot of his points when off of inbound. You know, just bring the ball up, pass right to Jamal Murray. He's going to shoot it from the logo. So, you know, that's how he gets a lot of assists. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, MPJ's looking great. So, I mean, if you put that team around LeBron James, he's probably averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, championship.
Yeah, exactly. Giannis would average a triple-double next to it.
All the teams are at 41, 42 games, roughly, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Halfway through the season.
Who would you say so far to you is, like, one of your most surprising teams?
The Kings, because when we did our preseason...
Me and you had them low.
We had them really bad. Preseason, like, predictions, I forget exactly where exactly I had them.
I had them at 10, you had them at 9.
I had them, like, right at the play-in... But the thing is, I originally had him out of the plan, and like Jamie started convincing me, but I was like, not that good. But I think I had him around 9 or 10, like right at the plan. So I definitely say the Kings. They're definitely surprising me. How about you?
Honestly, I have to go with the Knicks.
Knicks?
I mean, they're the 7th seed, obviously. That's not great.
22-19.
Yeah.
They have more wins than the Kings.
Yeah, so I mean, in the Western Conference, they're, you know, a top team in the league. But, you know, they've came together. RJ Barrett's looking better. All those guys just, they're really fledging to a good team. And I think that when the playoffs come, if they have these guys doing the right thing, they're going to do exactly what they did a couple years ago and get to the first round, maybe lose a couple games and end up losing the series. But, I mean, that's a big step for a franchise.
Or the Pacers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah. But, I mean, to be honest, I don't know where I had them. I think I had them out of the plan because for whatever reason I thought Jaden Ivey and Kay Cunningham were about to be Westbrook and Harden. But they've just been mid.
What about a team that has been surprisingly bad? I know one right off the top of my head. The Bulls.
Yes, the Bulls.
19-22, they're the 10th seed. They're hanging on to the playoff spot. The Raptors are 18-23. They're coming for them, and I think they'll get it. The Bulls have been, I mean, they're 6-4 of their last 10, so they're doing a little bit better, but I did not expect this out of them.
I mean, they've had injuries, of course, but I mean, you have had Zach LaVine all season. When you haven't had him, you've had DeRozan, you've had Caruso, and all those guys. The only person that's really missed a lot of time is Lonzo. He's the only person that's been out.
They knew that coming into the year.
Yeah, and that's their fault for not going out there and getting a playmaker.
I agree.
You have Ayo, who is a six-man. That's their problem, is they have too many guys that are six-mans. Kobe White and Dosunmu and Caruso, those are three guys that can put up 15 off the bench. And play make the ball a little bit, but not good. I mean, why not go out there and get Rondo to come and, you know, pass the ball a little bit? Somebody like that. It's just they have terrible management. Forgot his name, but whoever the GM was on the Bulls after Derrick Rose, they just have not been able to build a team.
Yeah, they're surprising. I thought they're gonna be like a 6-5 seed.
Yeah,
nothing major. But they're at the 10th seed, about to be out of the play-in.
Feel the same way about the Heat.
They're also another team as well.
Yeah, and then as far as the West, I mean, I'd have to say
Timberwolves.
Yes, like absolutely. The Warriors, Jamie had them as the first seed.
Yeah, which is crazy. I also had them pretty high. I was high on them, but it's just not really meshing. The Warriors, of course.
But they've had Steph out, Clay out. But Clay was playing terrible.
Jordan Poole. They'll still be good.
Oh, yeah, they could be the 10th seed and then
still contenders.
Go through the play-in, beat the 8th seed, beat the 4th, 5th seed, and then go to the conference finals.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're there, but they don't – it's whatever.
Yeah, they're too good to count out. Now Moses Moody, Kuminga, all of them.
I want Kuminga to turn into form. Yeah, the potential's there. He's just been kind of
– Yeah, let's wait another 5 years until Steph retires so they don't win, you know, another six rings.
Moody's been playing well.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, thank you everyone for tuning into the Full Court Press podcast on WVUA 90.7 FM, the Capstone. We will be back next week with part two of our greatest players to wear each number. It'll be numbers 37 to 99. We did 00 to 36 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So be ready for that one. Jamie will be back with us, hopefully. Hopefully his flight gets here. It's all set.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.